Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Powerful Pod Business Cast, where we talk about all sides of the truth here. And in the end, this podcast was created for one purpose. It was created for the purpose of looking at every single business issue that affects our lives and our business and giving you the choice and having us give our opinions as well. Too many times the media is one-sided. My name is JT Fox. I'm the world's number one wealth and business coach, serial entrepreneur, over 50 companies and brands. We are in 53 countries and we have clients in 87, probably over 90 by now. And here my co-host of this amazing podcast is The Pack, also known as Francie. Welcome to the show.
Hey everyone.
So we are still in Bali and we're still in the pool. Best way to record a podcast as well. Just had a workout, so we're a little gassed. Busy life workouts. It's a great workout. It's a workout for busy people who don't like working out, which is most people, based on the obesity rates all over the world increasing, actually. Actually, is it interesting that as a world, we're not getting healthier? We're actually getting unhealthier.
Yeah. Have you seen the movie WALL-E, where it's all big, they live in space because they ruin the planet, and they're all on little, like, hover around, like...
I thought WALL-E was that robot movie.
Yeah, WALL-E is the little robot, but the people all live in space.
I never watched it.
Are on the, like, on, like, segways, because they're just big blobs.
But the interesting thing is, now with the modern advancements of health, understanding about health, there's a lot more options to be healthy than ever before, but people are getting fatter.
I mean, there are more options to be healthy, but they're all more expensive too. So
yes, like, know, Whole Foods in America is called Whole Paycheck.
It's hard if you're not making enough money. It's hard to be healthy because the inexpensive food choices are the unhealthy ones. The dollar menu at all the fast food places, like, it's hard to pick healthy options if you don't.
Maybe we should start our own brand called Mech Healthy. It's like a little mini. Mech Healthy.
But how do you make it? That's the whole thing, though. How do you make it inexpensive? Because the ingredients are just more expensive.
Yeah. Well, that's a dilemma. Not part of the show today, but
just serve lettuce to everyone.
Just one.
You just get lettuce.
And wrapped in a carrot.
Lettuce and carrots.
So we're in Bali.
You could have a cucumber.
Yeah, you have cucumber and everything. So, all right. So let's talk about number one, Saudi Aramco. Which just launched, is now the most valuable IPO in the world. In case you don't know, Saudi Arabia has taken its oil reserves and oil fields and everything and taken that company public. And there's this whole debate on, would it be a $2 trillion company? And some people early on said three. The Kingdom of Saudi Arabia wanted two. American bankers were putting the valuation between 1-2. Few said 1.5, some even said 900 billion. And the Saudi Kingdom, and this is according to Bloomberg, went off on these bankers. And partly because of the embarrassment this year of WeWork and a lot of these failed IPOs and the distrust that people have in Wall Street. And so what happens is, this is a company listed in Saudi Arabia, not necessarily listed in America. So now there was this thing. Would it be our, there was earlier on, there was the murder of that journalist in Turkey. That was horrible press for Saudi Arabia. You had Iran attacking some of the tankers. So they had taken off the IPO, put it back in. I mean, this whole thing is turbulent. And allegedly, Saudi Arabia would go to some of the wealthiest people. Remember, a couple of years ago, they locked up all the billionaires at the Ritz-Carlton in a ballroom, and they took some of the wealth, allegedly. I mean, that's what the media says. We don't know exactly what happened. And so you have all this uncertainty, and then lo and behold, they launched a few days ago, and they raised their valuation now is $1.8 trillion. They had raised over $25.8 billion, making it better and bigger than Alibaba. And now they're the most valuable company in the world. So the question is this, okay? Would you trust putting your money in a foreign country like that, in a company where, you know, it's with everything that you hear, everything that you surround yourself, would you trust putting your money in a company like that? Should people trust in in a company like that? And I think it really comes down whether people kind of, you know, should invest in things outside of their area of comfort of expertise. What do you think? Or you want me to answer that question and then you want to chime in?
No, I think that at the end of the day, though, it's still oil. And oil is a commodity that, if it was just a company in Saudi, like, I don't know, some random company in Saudi Arabia or something like that, maybe differently.
Well, let's take it, but it's oil. But is it all the oil? And how do you know you can't siphon this oil well into somebody else's company, right? Something known in Texas where people had all these oil fields in the middle of nowhere, and then they move where the oil is and go somewhere else. How do we know there's not any fraud, any corruption, any things like that?
Well, there's that in normal business too in America. And I mean, look at WorldCom, look at Enron. Like, just saying it's in Saudi Arabia, there's fraud. Like, there's fraud in every country.
But also, too, isn't that the type of thing where they could say, you know what, we have our own money, screw you, and this is the way we're going to do it, and take it or leave it, and there's no consequences.
Do you know how much of the money was raised from the people?
A lot. They don't have that. They don't have that.
They kind of like...
They've kind of forced the people to do it.
Requested.
But apparently a lot of foreign investors get it too, which is very interesting in a world where we're trying to get less oil dependent, which probably means that we still are. And it's not
very oil.
And one of the reasons Saudi Arabia did this is they're trying to, and that is smart.
But they also didn't need the money.
No, they do need the money, because what happens is they've realized, I guess the new prince realized that, and they're trying to do this for 2030. They cannot make Saudi Arabia dependent only on oil. Because at the end of the day, one day that'll go away. I don't know when, I don't know where. So they're trying to make Saudi Arabia not as dependent on oil. And as a result, things have happened. Number one, and I don't know the condition. I've never been to Saudi Arabia. But now women can drive, which they hadn't. Women can attend sporting events, which they previously could not.
Oh, you mean now if we go, I can drive a car and attend a sporting event?
You can. And also, too, it's become a little bit more less restrictive.
If they just allowed people to drink alcohol, they'd make a lot more money.
Yeah, but I don't drink, so it doesn't matter.
No, I know you don't, but here's the thing.
But in Dubai, you can, so.
Right, but how do you ever really get tourism when it is a dry country?
Well, correct. And so what they're trying to do is they're trying to create some of the most modern cities in the world where everything is kind of AI, and it's pretty interesting what they're trying to do. But, you know, there's obviously a lot of, you know, like, you don't hear a lot of things about Dubai or Abu Dhabi or Bahrain or even Kuwait, where we've gone on tour. You don't hear any things in the news. You hear a lot of things about Saudi Arabia.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not the type of person who likes to judge another country, because I don't live there. I'm not there. What we're getting is outside reports. There's always two sides to the truth, and then there's the powerful. So we have to be very careful where the source is going.
But I have friends that travel there for business quite frequently, and it's like one of their toughest places to travel. Just
because they can't drink. Your friends drink.
But it's not just that. It's all the rules and just how they do. And what I'm saying is most countries, right, like that, how do you attract people? Dubai basically became a tourist destination because they realized they were in the middle of the desert and they had no oil. So it was to bring in
tourism. It probably doesn't
help
that you had a Saudi airman training in America in Pensacola, Florida, who just killed three people, and now people are saying terrorism. It's like probably the worst possible timing. America have just stopped the program with 300 people, put it on hold. Don't know if they terminated as well. Probably going to evaluate that. And the problem, there's always one person ruining it for everybody else. You know what I mean? And now people might think, you know, Saudis are terrorism, because Osama bin Laden was from Saudi Arabia. Some of the people who hijacked were Saudi Arabia, but they didn't live in Saudi Arabia. They went outside. For what I hear, and if I remember this correctly, the bin Laden family, you know, Osama bin Laden's family, right, he excommunicated himself from the family, is actually one of the biggest construction companies in the Middle East.
So
I mean,
do all the buildings say bin Laden?
I think so. I really think, like, the word bin Laden over there does not mean as much as it says here. So it's actually very, very interesting as well. I mean, my point is, to be honest with you, it is on my list to go next year. We've gone 53 countries. That will most likely be 54 next year. Don't know when, don't know where.
It is not high on the list for me to send you there.
Believe me, that's one place I am safe. Because I think as Americans are safer there because
it's not your safety that I'm worried about. It's where did you go where we had hotel staff following
Kuwait,
right? Yeah. So Kuwait was like,
I know
the tensions were high,
but here's the thing. I could all call Donald Trump. Facts. I'm going to get you out. I like you. You're great. I talked. You know what I mean?
I don't want you detained at the airport.
Detained at the airport.
A day.
Yeah. I don't know. It's on my list to do as a challenge. I there's certain places I don't necessarily want to go. But that one it is. There's a lot of money. Everybody says a lot of money. And also, too, I think it's a new challenge. We'll see how everything kind of pans out. We still haven't made the schedule. So that's kind of the issue. I mean, would I put my money in there, some of my money in there? The answer is a very small amount with the notion that maybe I'm going to lose it all. But I think if they did something crazy, it could ruin their brand and their ability to do anything financially forever. But also when you have tons of money, you kind of dictate the rules, right? And there's a lot of Saudi funds, the sovereign funds that are investing in big companies. They have a lot of money.
A lot of oil.
A lot of oil. So that's a lot of power. All right, next topic. Your favorite person in the world, Pac, Greta, that 16-year-old climate change activist, has just won Time Person of the Year. Is it justified? Should he have won? Why not? I thought I should have been Time Person of the Year for creating this podcast. We all know it was my idea.
Maybe next year
as well.
Maybe next year.
Do you think it's justified, yes or no?
I mean, I think it's interesting when a teenager, right, can win Person of the Year. But at the same time, I know there's a lot of people that are focused on climate change. And I think there's a segment of the population that is really, really into climate change and how dangerous it is and how our planet's going to be ruined. And I think there's a whole other segment that just doesn't even really acknowledge or pay attention to it. So I do think when there is a young person, a teenager that's like into... Most teenagers don't care about anything except for what's on their social media.
But the point is that they should justify be Time Person of the Year. That's the point. It should justify. That's the thing.
Well, what are the qualifications of Time Person of the Year?
Well, I'm asking, do you think she should be Time Person of the Year? Out of all the people in the world, is she the person that should be the Person of the Year?
I don't know. I mean, I think...
Well, just to put this in perspective, so you understand...
I think it could have been anyone, and people are always going to push back against it.
Well, the idea of the Time of the Person of the Year is not... the person that's done the best. Their idea is the person who, you
know,
stands out. Just to give some covers of other people, they've had Donald Trump when he won the presidency. Vladimir Putin's been there. The Ayatollah in Iran has been there. Stalin, Hitler, Nixon. These are all people that have been on there as well. They say
Hitler
one of the
was actually on Time Person of the Year. Hitler.
Yeah. So the idea wasn't. It's not. Their claim is it's not someone who's done the best. It's someone good or bad that stood out, which is very interesting. Because aren't you?
I feel like most of those here's are the question.
Well, there's been a lot. Taylor Swift was the year before, and I think I don't know if Kanye West was the Time Person of the Year, but so Taylor Swift has been there. Who else has been there? Mark Zuckerberg has been there. Einstein's been there. So. Here's the point, is that the point of this Time article is to say the youth is, she went out, she came out of nowhere, and obviously now we know her. I find her very angry, but she has, her point is you're destroying her future, which that I agree. I think, I don't know if she's doing more good or more bad. You have a lot of world leaders. She got attacked by the Brazilian prime minister just a couple of days ago. Call it Falala or Parlala, which means a spoiled brat. And she changed her Twitter handle as that. She's a little feisty. She went to war with Donald Trump on that as well. And she was just in Madrid speaking and basically like berating everybody in the audience, which I don't know if that's the right way of doing it. But then you got to give her credit. Notice. She basically took a boat all the way to America so she doesn't use the plane. So... you got to give her credit for that part.
Where did she take a boat?
From like Sweden. Like they took a boat. Like, so whatever, she's Denmark or yeah, Sweden. She's Swedish. Took a boat. Like she did not take an airplane. And that's why it was hard for her to get back. So someone had to cross the Atlantic in a boat because she doesn't want to fly by plane. Which is actually, you know, quite noble as well.
So she's
But I think the thing is you're having like a rise of the youth. You're seeing it in Hong Kong. Justified or not, doesn't matter. You're seeing it there because she created all these climate change protests, which, by the way, haven't done nothing. remember when they protest Donald Trump, the pink bonnet or hats or whatever? Mm-hmm. Did that do anything? Like, I wonder, the only protest that really worked is the Egyptian. They went like 100 plus days in protest and nobody did anything. And you just have to be committed until something changes or else it's not going to change. Interestingly enough, there's two protests that have not really done anything. Assad, the head of Syria, is still in place when everybody said it would fall. And in Venezuela, the head still stayed despite all the protests as well. And that's a place that's just completely collapsed as well. So the bottom line is she deserving? My opinion is, I don't agree with her views. I don't agree how she does it. But yes, because here's the thing. I didn't know who the hell she was 2.5 months ago, 3 months ago. And now we're talking about her on The Powerful. And that just means that. And, you know, but here's the problem. Everybody's kicking the can down the road. There's a $1 trillion debt in America down the road. Climate problems down the road. Because nobody wants the short-term pain. You know, nobody wants North Korea to throw nuclear. So when Trump goes at war with, or not war, but war of wars with North Korea, and there's some posturing, oh no, you're gonna do that. But then if you don't do anything, then it's bad. It just seems that everybody wants change, but no one wants the short-term pain. Like, for example, how do you get rid of the $1 trillion deficit? Everybody would have to pay a crap load of taxes in America, which nobody, including me, wants. So at the end of the day, we want the debt down, but we're not willing to do what it takes. So the problem is that it's called kick the can down the road. And unfortunately, that's the way the society has been. What do you guys think who are listening to this?
Should we get you a boat and you just start taking a boat?
I think some of our staff members would have to take it because they kept getting detained as well. Here's another one. Let's talk about, let's go back to women. So I don't know if you know this, but a 34-year-old woman is now the prime minister of Finland, making her the youngest woman. The youngest woman before that was 39, Jacinta, who was the prime minister of New Zealand. But here's the interesting part. The cabinet of all the women in Sweden, the other opposing parties.
Finland, you mean?
Yeah, Finland. Sorry, okay. Finland. Are all women. Four of them are below the age of 40, and one is 52. And so, are women taking over the world? And let me ask you a question.
Is there any men? Or you're just saying all the women in the cabinet?
No, not the cabinet. Well, all the cabinet will be men, but they're opposition party.
Got it.
You know what I mean? The coalitions of different parties on there. It's all women. So let me ask you a question. So I believe in women. I've been saying this. Women are better business than men. I stand along that. I love working. You run all my companies, so that's it. But let me ask you a question. Is a 34-year-old woman, or man, for that matter of fact, capable of running a country? Are they too young? Is there lack of experience? 34, that is very young. For example, you're around that age.
Yeah.
Could you run Finland?
Finland, maybe. No, I don't know. I do think that there is something to, you need to have a certain amount of life experience. I'm not going to say that no person at 34, their mid-30s, could absolutely not run a country, but I think that part of it is you want someone that's been through, I mean, think about it. In your 30s, in your mid-30s, you barely remember 2 decades, right? Because the first 10 years of your life, you don't really, really, I mean, so you've got like 2 decades, really, of life experience, and one of those decades, you're still living with your parents, so your experience and your opinions are 100% whatever your parents have to say, so like...
But you're a Snapchat nation, but here's another point. Let's say there's a problem in Finland, and I don't say they're a very nice country. We've been there. We've done business there. We do business there in Finland. And now this person is negotiating against Donald Trump, Vladimir Putin, right? Now, I'm not saying because she's a woman, because Merkel, who is the chancellor in Germany, very powerful woman, respect her tremendously. I don't care whether you like her or not. She's been there for a long time. But very interesting component here of like Donald, like, could you imagine? And by the way, would she get overly emotional if Donald Trump or Putin pushed their buttons? Would they respect her? Now, I don't think she got elected. I think the head of the country stepped down and she took a spot. She was the Minister of Transport, if I remember correctly, as well. I think so. I'm almost positive as that. So it's not elected. But there's definitely a coalition. But you know what? America could have had the first president, female president, Hillary Clinton. And the American people chose Donald Trump. But here's the thing about women. It's not about women, at least in America so far, will not vote for another woman because she's a woman. They just didn't trust Hillary. I don't care whether you like Donald Trump. And you have to give credit to women on that component of making the right decision and not electing someone because I'm a woman, she's a woman. But
no, I agree with that.
So I have to give credit to...
People aren't just... when I go to vote, I'm not going to vote for someone just because she's a woman.
But the problem is that you have all these women movements out there and you would think that that's what's happening, but it's not.
But it's not.
Because the majority is silent. The majority cast their thing. And we also know women rule the role. So very interesting, Pac. I was the first one to make you CEO of my global operation, just showing my faith in women as well. Another one, SoftBank, the company who invested in WeWork, who is losing a lot of money with this WeWork fiasco, which now they're saying is worth $5 billion. We haven't talked WeWork in a while. So they invested in a dog walking company called WAG. And now they've lost $300 million. The company's about to go bankrupt. And once again,
I wonder why.
Well, because the competition, their CEO who
WAG's
left.
WAG's a legit app, though. It's like an Uber for dog walking.
Well, it's not working. So now they're trying to discount. When they invested, they had a valuation of $650. They own 50% of it. Now they're trying to unload it for $300 million. It's going to be a $300 million loss. So I know we're criticizing. It has not been for Masayoshi Son, who owns SoftBank, one of the largest investment funds in the world. And now I'm in the private equity business. We'll probably talk about that this one as well. We've dominated many businesses. Now I'm going to be the big fish in a small pond, in a big pond. And so you will see me translate to that. But is it that philosophy is you lose, like you make money on two or three and then you lose seven or not. But in a world where rule number one, don't lose money. Rule number two, don't lose money. Is this like a sign that this company maybe does not have the golden touch, or it's that risk of, hey, it's either going to go huge? Because I can't imagine when you invest in this company, they sat there and said, man, this is going to be like huge and we're going to make all this money. Because Uber, by the way, still loses a lot of money, but the valuation. So Uber has taken a hit. Lyft has taken a lift. WAG has taken a lift, so hit. So you're looking at these companies, this gig economy, these platforms, not making that much money, losing money, and not the greatest investment in the world. And people are either waking up or they're making bad investment. What do you think?
Well, I think in any of the new app economy, people always think it's going to be the next big thing and make all this money, even though there's very few apps that actually make money. But I do think that it's all a risk, right? Anyone that's investing in one of these apps, I don't think they're sitting there saying, oh, this one's going to be a huge success. I think it's more people just saying this might be the one that wins and investing money into it. I've used WAG before when I had a dog, and it's a good app. There's like not like major issues with it, but I think what people...
How does it work?
I think what people underestimate...
How much does it cost?
It was kind of like was like Uber. You put in your credit card and when you like order a dog walker, when you need walker to come, the prices would surge or whatever. It was cheaper than hiring like
a real
dog walker. But here becomes the issue. Most people over time would rather have the consistent dog walker that they know, because a lot of times they're coming in, like when you hire a dog walker, they typically will have a key to your place or be able to get into your place because you're at work during the day to be able to get your dog and take it. So it becomes...
Well, what if you're there?
Well, yes, they can be there, but most people that have dog walkers are hiring a dog walker because they're not there. So the point is, it's like... there's a little bit of that trust factor of like, a lot of people that consistently hire dog walkers want someone that they know and that their dog likes.
What does it cost? Give me an idea of like, so the dog walkers were surging?
Yeah.
Like, what does it cost?
Well, it would vary depend on how long of a walk you wanted them to go on.
So ballpark. Like, give me a ballpark.
I don't know. Like,
what did you pay?
20,
you
know, $20.
What? That's too much money. That's the lowest you've paid.
Huh?
What's the lowest you paid?
Probably like 10 or 15.
Okay. Now, could you like find that person and make it more consistent? Or they also did it when they was free on their time as well? It's not right. Like you could hire and got it. So it's not professional as well. So very interesting show today, Pack. And on the next show, we're going to tackle, are MLMs a scam? We're going to talk about that. We're going to go deep dive on that. And that'll be the whole show that we're going to do. Are MLMs a scam?
All right.
That'll be the debate on there. So you have to do research because I seem to do all the research for the show now.
I had topics. You were on a roll.
Okay. Well, then you can be in charge of the next one. But we'll do our MLMs.
We'll do MLMs and then I'll be
in charge. And then in that show as well. So by the way, obviously I speak all over the world, sell my program on stage up to $5,000. If you would like every single one of my courses, how I made millions in property, crypto, business, how to grow any business, how to start a business, negotiating sales, how to overcome fear, time management, how to procrastination. I'm going to give you every single one of my course for only $20 a month. You cancel anytime. Over 3,000 hours of content like this podcast here. But now I'm actually teaching you wealth strategies, how to grow. Everything I do is right there. Francie has a course. She's a genius. We created a course about how to make money on social media that actually we returned 856% return on social media marketing. This year is a little bit down. We'll talk about that this year. Still a lot because of increased competition as well. So you go to millionaireflix.com/thepowerful. millionaireflix.com/thepowerful. I'll waive the $5,000 fee. $20 cancel anytime. Nothing. Oh, that's your line. I was about to say your line to take over. Since I do all the work, I might as well do your line too. Please go out there, share it, listen, and you can listen to past podcasts. Even though some topics are relevant, the fundamentals of sharpening your axe will be important. Pack, you have the last word. Success is not a matter of chance. It's a matter of choice. Now do your little star thing.
Don't forget to like us, follow us, give us a 5-star review, and always remember that nothing is more powerful than the truth.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Powerful Business Podcast, where we go through all sides of the truth. This is the podcast where we will explore both sides and then give you our opinion and let you decide in a very biased, one-sided kind of world. There has been lots of debates and activity about some of our recent podcasts. Before we go into that, I am JT Fox, the world's number one wealth and business coach, serial entrepreneur, over 50 companies and brands. We do business in 53 different countries and clients in 87 plus, probably over 90 at this point. And here are the co-hosts of my show, The Pack, aka my CEO, Francie. Welcome.
Hey, everyone.
So lots of activity based on the activity, one of which is about our discussions about times of the year. So before we go in over a topic of the day, also the IPO, Saudi Arabia, Amoco, has just crossed over $2 billion again. So lots of activity going on. And the interesting thing about that is the Saudi squeezed the banks because normally they take massive fees. Only 0.025, not even a percent, 0.025 of the money raised that they gave, yeah, quarter of a percent, that they gave to the bank, which is $64 million spread between over 26 banks. Not a lot of money when they make a gazillions of dollars, $40, $50 million usually on just one IPO, one smaller. And they're saying that the Saudis squeezed them and basically said, if you don't do this, God knows what will happen. So interesting thing. I know you had a lot of discussions about the time of the year situation. So.
Oh yeah, the... What was interesting is Greta, the little girl, not little girl, teenager Greta, who won the Time Person of the Year. What was also interesting about that is a lot of stuff has been coming out saying how she doesn't want to meet with politicians anymore. She's tired of meeting with politicians and she doesn't like being asked to take selfies. So my thing is, if you, you know, if you're going to make an impact, if you're going to be in the spotlight, say the things you're saying, you know, how you were mentioning in the last podcast, how she can be a little bit aggressive. And at the end of the day, you're trying to climate change is your big thing. How do you make an impact if you don't want to meet with politicians? That is my question. You're 16. You're saying you don't want to meet with politicians anymore. You don't want to make selfies. You don't want to take selfies with people that are fans. So how do you turn around and actually make an impact? Who are the people you're going to meet with? How are you going to make change? Thoughts?
I mean, listen, when she's 18 plus and she goes on dates and everything else like that, I pity the man who is going to go out on a date with someone like that. She is very angry. She is very, very angry. But you know what? At the end of the day, that whole brash, in your face, controversial.
But here's the thing, I wanted to defend her,
which I really don't want. But I'm going to take the other side of this. Doing the nice way, having meetings to have meetings and dialogues has not worked one bit so far. So maybe by bringing this attention, which I don't think is going to do anything. At the end of the day, climate change ain't going because some angry 16-year-old is doing that. Bottom line is, it's like people won't even put recycling. So you know what I mean? And that's the fundamental problem. But here's the thing. She's doing this. She's saying this. And we're still talking about her. And if she was meeting people, they would just do it so they can get the Photoshop. So they can be like the photo op saying, hey, look what we're doing. We're meeting about this for the youth. And they're using her. So it's a different strategy. I don't agree with it, meaning her and what she's about. But I think this strategy is so polarizing. It's worked in America with Donald Trump. It's worked in the UK now with Boris. We'll talk about that. The next Boris Johnson, who just got reelected with a majority, which, yep, again, that just happened. So we'll talk about that the next podcast. So, you know, you take a look at Chef Gordon Ramsay, Simon Cowell. Look at this Simon Cowell and the controversy, how they treat people on America's Got Talent. Blah, 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 blah. These are all things we're going to talk about. In fact, I should put that in for next topic and put it in my phone right now. But that's it. Let's move on. Today's topic, we are going to talk about MLM, which is network marketing.
MLM stands for multi-level marketing.
Why don't you say it louder? Why are you like, what are you worried someone's...
I'm not whispering.
Multi-level.
I didn't whisper.
Yes, you did.
You're just yelling you only know how to talk in a yelling voice.
Excuse me, who here had a syndicated radio show in two countries? Me, thank you.
And how many people were listening?
Three. Me, the producer, exactly, and stuff like that.
Thank you.
No, there was not three, and it was going on for 6 years. And also, too, it doesn't matter how many people are listening, it's who I got on the show. That's the interesting, because no one ever knows how much you're listening.
Right.
Anyways, it was a great show, but now this is better. So, all right, explain what the concept of, if people don't know what multi-level marketing is, MLM is.
So MLM, multi-level marketing, is basically you have a product or a service, because it can be a product or a service-driven business, and the way you make money, it's basically two ways you make money. You can sell someone your product or service, which you make usually a small percentage on, or the second way you can make money, which is usually the bigger payout, is to sign up under other people underneath you to sell your product or service. So then, in essence, those people underneath them are going to sign up other people to buy their product or service. Most of them, not all, kind of have where you have like a right leg and a left leg, and you try to get three people on each side, and then you try to get, you know, help each of those three people get three people, and then help each of those people. And so it grows, because basically each level, and the goal is you're selling the product or service, but you get a bigger payout when other people sign up to get other people in or sell the product or service. Did that make any sense, or was that more confusing?
I mean, bottom line is you need to recruit people to keep the thing going. So some people call it a pyramid scheme, and there are so many.
If you look at the overall design of probably how the entire company is set up, it ends up looking like a pyramid.
So what do you think? Is it a scam or not?
I think that there are people that have made substantial amounts of money typically the people that make really, really good money in multi-level marketing companies are the people that get in very, very early. So they're closer to the top. I think, you know, if you work really hard at it, you can make money at it. What I think, I don't want to say it's necessarily a scam, but I think the biggest downside of it is you're 100% reliant on the company. So let's say, you know, for some reason the company gets shut down, which has happened before. You now have no way to make money. Let's say a certain product gets taken, you know, all of a sudden they figure out the product isn't good or viable or something's wrong with it, and now you don't have a way to make money.
Listen, so here's the bottom
line. You're totally reliant on somebody else.
You'll be very surprised about what I'm about to say. I don't think it's a scam. I think, number one, it's not a pyramid. It's a legitimate way of selling a products and services, okay? And I'm gonna take the other opposite view here, that I can see why people think it's a scam, because everyone who is listening to this podcast has been pitched by someone, some kind of MLM, whatever it is, whether you're selling services, whether you're selling a product or juice or whatever it is, and the people that sold it misrepresented how much they make, lied, and it didn't live up to expectations. Now, you may not know this, and I used to talk about this when I started speaking. I started, my first business was MLM. Excel communication, I'm completely broke. And I'd sign up people, we did a good job. We had to switch people off their phone bills and put them onto one. So the Bell Canada was one and their Kelbo. So we had to take them over and sign up for long distance. And we did a really good job. And very quickly I rose to the rank, so much so in the first 4 months that we got to the head office. And the people I met were like 200. And like Rolla got a new car. I never forgot this. This is a long time ago. And I'd be like, woo! Well, after we went to the corporate office after 4 months, because we had some challenges and we were in the insider, Rolla got a car because of her job. And many of the things that people said weren't necessarily going to work. And I celebrated too much on my victories before the money came in. Because people say they would sign up, but then they could cancel and you have to keep a minimum of customers, all that stuff. And then I just, the whole thing, I celebrated before I won. I also misrepresented. I go into meetings at Chapters, which was a bookstore, kind of Barnes and Nobles. And I got a fake BMW key. And I'd put it on the meeting in front of me. That's how stupid I was. And by the way, I was such an idiot. The key wasn't even cut. You know what I mean? It was like, that's how stupid I was. I got a keychain. And I lied, I misrepresented, and I failed. And it was the greatest, and then it failed. And it was
so that company imploded.
That company later imploded, Excel Communications, they went out. Kenny Trout, the guy who founded it, became a billionaire, of course. But it was the greatest experience because it taught me about business, about things not to do and celebrating before it's over, you know, like all of these things. You know, we have our client that's in Herbalife that we coach. It's part of, you know, he makes $4.3 million. He's been in it for 29 years. The problem is that a lot of people in network marketing are relying on other people, and you got them on the whole get rich quick thing, and they're not doing the effort. And what you do is you build an organization. I think there are good products. I think for example, I think Herbalife and Amway, and there's other products out there that they have legitimately the product first. But we've seen like network marketers like Nouveau Riche, where the money was selling education, real estate education. And it's all based on selling something, not anybody doing as well. The fundamental of a great network marketing must be the product must be good. But I don't even know if there's other companies, but for example, some people sell juice for $40 that probably costs a dollar to make because it's all overpriced because everybody's getting paid from the juice. And I think that's part of the problems why some of these companies have not made it as well. So it doesn't mean, and by the way, it's not people make money. Now, most people don't make money. I coach a lot of people. Most people don't make money. But it's not always because it's not a good product. It's because people don't put the effort.
Well, I think part of the bigger problem with MLM companies is that people buy into the hype and think that they're not going to have to work. And I think that's a bigger problem.
But that's in any business, don't you agree?
Yes, but that's my point is people think, oh, this is going to be it because I just need four people or three people or six people or whatever it is. And you think you're just going to get those people and then it's all going to build itself. And then you're going to get the pink Cadillac or you're going to get the BMW or you're going to get whatever it is.
Did you tell people I got you a gold Porsche?
Not until the title comes in.
Apparently it's there. Where? I don't know. It's in transit. Yeah. I got Pack a...
It's not official a until gold the title Porsche, comes in.
Which, by the way, was a re-gift for the record. Someone gave me a gold Porsche.
Now a I'm year
giving,
ago.
A year ago and never drove it. And now I'm giving her the gold Porsche. So you don't need a pink Cadillac. You got a gold Porsche from me.
Excellent.
That is your Christmas gift.
But my point is, I think that a lot of times it appeals to people that don't want to do the work because it seems like it's already set up and it's going to be really easy. And then what happens is you get all these people in that don't want to do the work. And then that's what gives it a bad name of you're not going to make any money and it's all a quote unquote scam because people don't want to do the work. But I think that's any business. Nobody's going to make any money if they don't want
to. I think MLM is a way to distribute a product. It's more like a way of selling a product.
And I know a lot of people that have done really well with different ones, you know, different companies.
Well, there's a network marketing company right now, and this guy named Eric Worre is doing it in Las Vegas as we do this as well. And there's over 100 different companies there, and they have different leaders of companies. I actually think if we did a network marketing company, we'd actually do well. You know, we'd actually think we'd, I really think we'd do well. But a lot of these companies fail. You don't think so?
Well, like started our own product or...
Whatever.
Because didn't we kind of attempt?
No, not MLM. You talk about the iPhone?
No. What was Zija?
Oh, that was not me.
No, but that was...
No, I understand, but that has no control. Trust me, I had nothing to do with that. I had nothing to do with that. That was someone to stop.
But it was still in your company.
Well, yeah, but I didn't have nothing to do with it. I didn't promote it. I didn't talk about it. So this was an idea that's not led by me. I'm talking about if it was led by me. I think it would do very well.
But I also think, though, it is a type of a business.
Correct.
Though,
you attract different people.
You attract different people, but you also attract different regulatory agencies paying attention to what you're doing.
Yeah. Well, it depends on if it's health related products, of course. And it's interesting because when Bill Ackman, who's the billionaire from Pershing Capital, tried to take Herbalife by saying it's a Ponzi scheme, I was sure that Herbalife was done. And what was very interesting, that Herbalife fought back. It cost them $200-300 million legal fees, by the way. And they beat the billionaire because the billionaire had shorted the stock. But what happened is Carl Icahn, who's one of the top private equity buyout guy. I mean, the guy is very impressive. Carl Icahn, right? He's worth like about $28 billion.
Yep.
And he hates that guy. And he bet on Herbalife. And it created this. And by the way, if you go to Bill Ackman versus Carl Icahn, Carl with a C, like you could see them go back and forth. And at the end of the day, Carl Icahn ended up making like a few billions from it. And Bill Ackman ended up having a huge write down, like almost $1 billion in loss on that play. Interestingly enough, people left his private equity, his hedge fund, and this year, at the end of the year, he is up 50%. The art of the comeback. So good for him on that. It was a bet, but it just goes to show that you're shorting a stock and then you're telling people it's a scam and you're putting all this effort. Seems to be somewhat of a conflict of interest, but I didn't think they could survive. Not because I didn't think Herbalife did well. It was just like...
It was a big attack.
It was a big attack from a big person who's connected, right, and everything else like that. So I think we have to be very careful as a society of calling things scam when they're not. I think that's part of the problem. And I think you have to take a look at the merits, the organization. Now, and I would be wary of people who start saying, check my bank account, look how much money I'm making, because you're attracting the wrong type of people. So I am not hating on the network marketing industry, but like any business opportunity, you have to be careful. And you have to be careful.
I do think too, to really succeed in network marketing, you have to be a believer and a consumer of the product or
service. Of course,
and I think that's a big thing. Is sometimes two people get in on the opportunity because somebody else is doing well, but they're not a big.
Well, here's another thing too. So you build your whole life. And by the way, do I want to be in a coffee shop, you know, 10 years from now, pitching people on network marketing? The answer is no. The internet's probably the greatest thing that ever happened to network marketing because it became easier to market.
Correct, but you have to be careful because some companies don't allow you to, you know, do certain things online. But you also can't promote it on Facebook.
But here's another problem. Here's another problem in terms of this opportunity and just the opportunity. If the company goes out of business, and people are like, they've been doing it 40 years. What if they get shut down?
That's what I said in the beginning.
Correct. There was a company like Moat.
You're screwed.
Right? The FTC came back. Boom. Shut it down. Everybody was making money just like that. Nothing. Starting over your whole life. And I think my advice to everybody, if you're in this, listen to this, is start thinking of other things and diversifying and doing different things, because putting all you in one basket, I believe, and I keep saying that when I teach all over the world, wealth equals control. And you don't have control. You can make money. Now, the appeal is it's a system. It's all worked out. They have it all for you. So very interesting. Very, very interesting topic here today. You decide. What do you think? Right? Do you think it's a scam? Why do you think it's a scam? But be very careful. It doesn't mean you don't like it that it's a scam. It doesn't mean someone got burned, used the claim. But did they do the work? Did they put the effort? You know, there are people, a lot of the money, these network marketings are we have garage fulls of powder and all stuff like pack. Her whole house is full of boxes that of stuff she has never confused. You got rid of all those?
They all went to your house.
They all went to my house. So they're in my house somewhere?
No, all the people that did like it in the company, I would...
You were the giver of powder.
I was the one buying it, and everyone else was using it.
And that is how you like it. You like to buy things. You are the Robin Hood pack. She buys and gives to everyone as well. So anybody who would like the pack.
Good karma.
To stuff like that. Good karma. Also, many of you have messages. If you need a loan, if you want me to buy your company, if you want me to buy a real estate deal, or you qualify and you'd like to be part of my private equity, we have just launched a massive portal of a website, which is actually taking everybody by storm, sendusdeals.com. Check it out, sendusdeals.com. Or you wanna connect with me, someone successful, you know, we will reciprocate back as well. This is what this platform, sendusdeals.com. So good topic here today, good conversation. So is there any final words, or are we just ending this shindig?
Well, and that's what you wanted to talk about. So next time we will be back normal format talking about a few different topics.
Well, we're going to talk about Harvey Weinstein. We are going to be talking about Simon Cowell. And we are going to be, talking about the UK and Brexit.
And we're
going to
be talking about Twitter. And we're going to be talking about Forbes 30 Under 30.
What? Did you do work?
I did.
What?
Those were
my God, you have heard it here.
You
breaking
didn't
news.
Talk too much that I can't
breaking
get
news. Pack finally has done work on the show.
They've been waiting.
They've been waiting.
Three episodes.
The three episodes. I'll let you
talk so much.
Well, because I'm so, I'm educated. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. You know, Pac, tell them what you want to do with the sharing, your little.
Yes, leave us a 5-star review. Make sure you follow us and share, like, and comment. Final thoughts?
Feedback as well. Any topics you'd like us to cover. So go on my social media. You can leave it in the comments. We read everything. And remember that success is not a matter of chance. It's a matter of choice. And one of the first business advice I've ever received, and I've never forgotten this, stop talking about it and get it done. Have a great day, everybody. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Powerful Business Podcast, the number one new podcast, because on this show, the only podcast that talks about both sides of every issue. We talked about MLM last week, whether they're a scam. We talk about WeWork. We talk about Elon Musk. We talk about everything. And then we give you both sides, whether we agree or disagree. And then we give you our opinions, and then you decide. Because as a society, if we can be more informed, we can get rid of biases and racisms and prejudgments and everything like that, and become a more well-rounded, intelligent people. My name is JT Fox, the world's number one wealth and business coach, serial entrepreneur, over 50 companies and brands. We do business in 53 different countries, and we have clients in over 90 plus countries all over the world. And here, my co-host of the show is my CEO, aka The Pack, Francie. She absolutely dominates in every aspect, building an empire. Also, we just recently launched a private equity, which is taking by storm, and a lot of different ways of doing business, connecting. I'm lending my money to people who are listening to this podcast and buying companies and investing in deals. So been doing a lot of cool things like this. So Pac, lots of people saying, let Francie come up with topics. Let Francie come up with topics. So you know what? Today on this show, first of all, how are you?
I'm good.
Fantastic.
We're still in the pool, in Bali. We're still splish splashing around in the pool, so I can't complain. I have nothing to complain about. Yes, so I have a couple of topics that we are going to start out with. The first topic I want to talk about is over the past few days, they've been talking about Trump and his different criticism of people that he's taking to Twitter and, you know, tweeting 30 times in an hour and all of this. So really, it's not necessarily about Trump and Twitter, but what I want to talk to you about is, should presidents, political figureheads, kings, queens, should they be able to utilize social media?
Of course, why not?
But they're you have people attacking people, people saying things. Should it be a you unfiltered can have access to using social media?
First of all, absolutely, because number one, the media twists everything. So if the media was a responsible, unlike this show, to go over both sides of the issue, the media can twist everything. Whether you like Donald Trump or not, Twitter is the greatest thing for him because he doesn't need to comment to the media and then they twist or put out of context.
But it's one thing when he says, you know, this is my view or this is where I stand or this is what I meant. But then when he goes into straight on attacking somebody, do you think that's something that a...
Who did he attack? He always attacks somebody.
Every day he's attacking.
Right. But hold on.
Should he be able to take it to the other side.
He's attacking people who attacked him first. He doesn't randomly, like all this impeachment stuff, he's attacking the people that are attacking him. So give me one example where Trump has randomly attacked someone without being attacked.
Here's what you have the, the FBI attorney, Lisa, whatever her name is, right? That's now suing the FBI, that her private text messages between her and her boyfriend, which the whole reason the texts were released was because he was doing the investigation, but you had personal text messages, was never anything she said publicly, never anything she said to the world that then got leaked that she was saying about him. So then he's
you're an FBI for attorney and you're in a relationship, which whatever, with a person who is investigating, there's a conflict of interest there. And I would be pissed.
But
and
did the text need to be released? And does he?
Well,
need
of course
to
they
be
need to be released.
For,
they need to be released because the investigation was biased. The whole premise was, did Trump interfere with Russia? Now we don't talk about that anywhere because there is no evidence. And you have a person that does not like Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. You have the head of the FBI, which is, by the way, as an attorney for the FBI, represents the people, clearly biased and not liking him. And the whole thing doesn't whether you like Trump or not, put yourself in your shoes. You have someone investigating you who publicly doesn't like you, who is in a relationship with the head of the FBI, and the FBI, and now the Inspector General's report that came out said the FBI overstepped on certain things in 2016 when they investigated Trump's campaign. And that's the attorney for the FBI. The whole thing smells. And if that was me, I would attack too.
But my point is, it was never anything she said, but I don't disagree with what you're saying, but my point is the investigation could have been done without it all being...
Here's the thing. When you are the head... And
given
you, yeah, I know.
Publicly.
But that's not the point. But here's the thing. A lot of things have been leaked that shouldn't have been leaked. There are a lot of things that have been done should be done. This is politics. It's dirty. It's nasty. And at the end of the day, you're responsible for everything that you do. And at the end of the day, she ain't going to win nothing. Okay? So she could sue all she wants. She thinks she's vindicated. In fact, that the head of the FBI at the time, James Comey, right, came out and said, I'm vindicated. And then the inspector general just said yesterday, no, you're not. Like, everybody twists anything, right? So, for example, when Trump got exonerated from Russia, he said, I'm exonerated. The Democrat says not. Because it's nasty. It's two-sided. It's one-sided. Nobody wants to agree and look at the fact.
You don't think there's any lines that need to be drawn?
Not, and we live in a new world.
Using social media.
No, it's a new world. And
so the flip of that is anyone can say anything they want about anyone without any repercussions.
Well, it depends what country you live in. In the United States, yes. Right? It's called freedom of speech. In other countries, no. There are a lot of things that if was said about President Trump, individuals or other celebrities, okay, they could get sued, or the media. Here in America, it's like, oh, freedom of speech. And the problem with the freedom is that it may be free, but it has consequences. And why does it have to be hurtful? Why does it have to be fake? Why does it have to be? I mean, listen, I love Elon Musk, but he called, and by the way, a lot of people messaged me and they said pedo agreed. They agreed that it meant pedophile. I don't know this submarine guy, okay? But Elon Musk has like 20 plus million Twitter users and he called the guy a pedo. And if the guy is not, okay, the guy is not a pedophile. I wouldn't want that, you understand? And I don't think it's right. I love Elon Musk, I just don't think it's right. Now, is it right at $190 million?
Right, so that's my no. point. But where there do you draw the line?
But there isn't. It's the law. And the law is until Congress changes the law, right? Like, people say things about me that are not true all the time. And the problem is that I think as a population, a world, we're becoming more and more desensitized. Look what happened to
I guess here's my point. If I went on Twitter and went on a rant about stuff, you potentially could fire me.
We talked about this in Hong Kong, of the general manager of the Houston Rockets who made a comment about Hong Kong and China right. and stuff like that.
But yes. then you can say whatever you want and it's fine.
But I own the company.
Right. But so where's the line? So, but nobody is. But when you're the world leader,
correct.
There's nobody above you.
But you know what it is? If people do not like it, they will not reelect him in the next election. And you watch, he will be reelected. Everyone talked about Boris Johnson, about, oh, he's like a mini Donald Trump. In fact, they look each other. They were both born in New York. And this brash, eccentric people everybody seems to hate, these are the ones who keep getting elected. So here's the thing. Donald Trump will get reelected. Okay? Will get reelected. Mark my words. So at the end of the day, if people don't like it and they're fed up with it, they will vote him out. And the people have a right. So it's always a risk. On the other side, everyone told Donald Trump not to tweet during the election, that it was inappropriate. Why are you attacking Arnold Schwarzenegger? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? Right? And he won. So at the end of the day, you're not going to please everybody. You're going to please your 46%. That's what's going to get you reelected. But yes, there are consequences and fallout. Many of the deals that Donald Trump has been working on, I read an article on Forbes, many of the assets that have depreciated in value in blue states, the hotel deals in the South, that they were good at branded hotels, did not work. A lot of foreign deals were put on hold. So there has been, and Donald Trump's net worth has gone down $800 million since the presidency. Now, that's just a number. It's, you know, who knows what the real value of one's net worth is when it's not publicly disclosed. There are consequences.
Right.
So there's a line. Yes, there's a consequences. You can get unelected. You can get thrown out of office, or, you know, there are people who have made stupid comments and got fired. I'm trying to remember Don Cherry. Right? Mm-hmm. He has the platform, made his comments, okay? He was entitled to. But CTV was entitled to fire him as well. So there's consequences. Yes, it's a platform, but we don't live in a place that's not consequences. You know, people might not like what he says. They might not vote for him. You know, they may not, you know, use his hotels. They may not. So, yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I don't think you can say whatever you want. You can say whatever you want, but there's consequences to what you say. That's the bottom line, right? So... And by the way, I'm watching the Crown on Netflix, and who knows how accurate that is, right? But one of the episodes I watched was someone betrayed the Queen, without going too much details, if you didn't watch it. And because they didn't want to embarrass MI5.
Oh, yeah.
Right. They didn't say anything. And they allowed that traitor that was working for Russia to live in Buckingham Palace because they didn't want to. Yeah. There's always more than meets the eye.
Oh, wait till there's an episode coming up.
Well, tell me.
Somebody makes a statement in a national interview, and it really just kind of screws them up.
But I think the thing is, at least here's the thing: you could say what you want on Twitter, and those are your words, and they're quoted in its entirety. You can quote the media, and they have misquoted people, and they can twist anything. So that's the world we live in.
Okay. Next topic, the Forbes 30 Under 30 list just came out, but what I wanted to talk about on the list is 20 of the 30 are 22 years old or younger. Okay, so you have 20 of them that are 22 years old or younger, and a majority of those 20 companies are all very eco-conscious companies. One of them, actually, ironically enough, is taking plastic trash from the ocean and repurposing it into swimwear. One of the companies is taking plastic straws and turning it into clothing. Which the interesting part is that was exactly one of the when we did the family ultimate business builder.
But okay, so let me stop you. What's the criteria? 30 under 30. Was it net worth or game changers or what was it?
No, it's their list of 30. Okay.
So, by the way, so I'm going to put this. There are many people in the
number one of 30 under 30 was the chain smokers were number one. So it's not all. Okay.
So I will tell you this.
But there's a lot of eco-conscious businesses. Correct. You know what?
They may be 30 of 30. Where will they be? So I grew up reading the Forbes 400, not growing up, but since I became a business, and I've read that too. And if you actually go in previous issues and where they are now, They're nowhere. So it means nothing. So until they make the Forbes 400, because their idea may be good, is it monetizable? Is it great? So these are nice little kids. I mean, we talked about Wag the company. And by the way, up until 3 months ago, WeWork guy was a huge darling, right? And now look where he is. Wag, how many of these companies, these under 30 in the dot-com era as well? So they may be doing some cool stuff, but you know, to be honest with you, where are they going to be in their 30s and 40s?
So you still stand by?
Yeah, I do.
The eco-conscious type companies
until it makes money. Correct. I think they're risky. As you know, I have a private equity. I invest in companies. I think they're risky, and the problem is that people are slow to adopt. You know, oh my God, this is plastic from the ocean. It must be dirty. You know, I do like that guy though. And I saw a documentary where he took from the Netherlands, he took that boat and he tries to do these plastic traps and, you know, but we're in Bali now. We've been to the beach, not this time, but last time where like there was plastic everywhere. But here's the thing, look at how much plastic. We have a plastic bottle right now for our water. We, you know, there's so much plastics and it's hard, you know what I mean? And there hasn't been alternatives. So these may be like, wow, cool people. But is their business making money? Is it monetizable? Because now in this world, what we are now seeing is a shift in this economy where your idea, if they're not making money, it's not good. Uber is tanking. Lyft is tanking. Snapchat is still not making money. And so WeWork losing money. So this whole notion of the unicorn, great idea, great potential, you know what I mean? Wags, great idea. They're in serious trouble as well. And the list goes on and on and on. So, So, you know, like Greta, we've been talking about her. You know, wow, look at her now, right? Time of the year. Where is she going to be in 5 years, right? The guys, the Parkland survivors of the shooting in Florida. Remember that mass shooting? Mm-hmm. And there's a guy, like young guy that was taken over and stuff like that. And he made the news for about 2 years. Now he's nowhere to be found. Let's see where they are. Sustainability. I've been in business 10 years. I'm still on top. I'm still doing it. Let's see what happens. Okay. Anybody can be a one-hit wonder. Then, oh, how many musicians have a one-hit song? Or, you know what I mean? It doesn't mean anything. And so I think this is puffery. That's just all I think about. And by the way, if they're on the Forbes 400, then I'll pay attention. Bunch of 30-year-olds on the age of 30 because they have a good idea and they want to save the planet. Hey, kudos to that idea. But let's calm down here. Because at the end of the day, if it doesn't make money, you don't attract investors, you don't grow, you don't have that sustainability, and your idea goes in there. And I wish green made money. I wish everything became more eco. But it doesn't seem to go that way, right? And so if people have trouble changing their food habits, which is easier,
right?
Than clothing and things like that. So let's move on.
Okay. Last topic that I wanted to talk about, because there's been a little bit of backlash since it was released, is the Athlete of the Year. So the Athlete of the Year for Time Magazine this year was not an athlete. It was the entire U.S. women's soccer team. And so they gave it to the U.S. women's soccer team. They won the World Cup. But more so, they gave it to them for fighting for equal pay.
Well, is that why they gave it to them, or they won because they won?
Nope. It says the women's U.S. soccer team for standing up and fighting for equal pay and women winning the
Weren't they favorites to win in the first place, though?
Yes.
Okay, so they were favorites.
So it was not an underdog story. It's an entire team, not one athlete.
I would argue, and first of all, I don't think that's a good choice, personally, but they won, so credit to that. I think the team of the year, personally.
No, it's supposed to be athlete.
Okay, but let's go by team, because that's the team, okay? Or I'll say athlete. I would have said it to the Toronto Raptors. I'm from Canada. I lived in Toronto. To have a basketball team.
A
Canadian basketball team led by a Nigerian general manager who made a great trade by getting Kawhi Leonard. And they have this Cameroon guy that he took a chance on that didn't even play basketball till the age of like 16, Siaka, to win in Toronto. I was there. I was courtside at game one in a hockey town where even though the Raptors were in the playoffs, the hockey was still the leading headline, which was a comical in itself. To me, that's the team of the year. Now, listen, again, we've become in this Stan United hashtag type era.
Did they just win because they were the women and they were fighting for equal pay?
Do I think women need equal pay to men? The answer is yes, okay? I pay you very well. I think you do a fantastic job, and I have no problem. You are man at pay. Now, the point is, with men's soccer, there's a lot more revenue, it draws a lot more sponsorship, and it makes a lot more money.
Right.
So that's kind of like my point in this situation.
Right. It has nothing to do with gender. Correct. It has everything to do. I mean, that's the same reason an NFL player makes more than a soccer player.
Or a rugby player.
Right, because the NFL draws more money.
Correct.
Than
more sponsorships, TV,
right. Soccer does. Right. So it's not really about man or woman. It's about what the revenue that comes into that particular sport.
And so
it's the same with scholarships in college.
I mean, one warrior that people in the rugby expected the All Blacks to win, and South Africa won, you know. So there's a lot of these teams. I don't even know who won the World Cup. Did France win the World Cup? I think France won the World Cup. Yes, France did win the World Cup. I mean,
I'd be interesting to go back and see, based on like the premise, if they gave Athlete of the Year to, and maybe you remember, to Kaepernick.
No, I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
Do you know what I'm saying? Because I feel like
the football player who, by the way, the NFL
actually
says now that.
Look that up on your phone.
Yeah. The The NFL says they're done with Colin Kaepernick.
Year, right?
That's the football player that kneeled. And it's not about whether he kneels in his rights. They try to give him an opportunity. He created drama. But here's the point. No matter how good you are, this quarterback is better than most quarterbacks in the NFL, at least half of them. And he still hasn't played in 3 years. Why? Culture of teams. People don't want distractions. They don't want that
in
their team.
I want to know who sits in the room to pick the person of the year, the athlete of the year, like to pick those things, to who actually is like who's nominated, who the people are that decide, what the conversation is that happens in
that room.
Also,
is it a bunch of liberals or is it
like, I would love to know who like the people are at time that sit in the room and decide it, because I bet those are some very interesting conversations.
And if it's New York, it's probably a bunch of liberals. And with you know what I mean? So it depends who's making the decision and what basis. All right, let's move on.
All right.
I'm Googling while I was doing it.
Oh, but you, I know that you had some other topics you wanted to discuss.
Yes. So let's talk about, he was runner up for Time Person of the Year.
Oh, so Person of the Year, not even Athlete of the Year.
Yeah. And then he was named, let me see.
Interesting.
He won Athlete of the Year, but I don't know what. Let me see here where he won.
It would have had to be that year because he's never been like a standout.
Athlete of the Year. He was Athlete of the Year in Descent magazine. So, anyways.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. So, all right. So, one of the topics I want to talk about, number one, is we briefly talked about the UK, which is very, very by re-electing or in a snap election, Boris Johnson. The premier of the UK, and also with now gaining 50 plus seats, which again, the media said it wouldn't happen. And once again, polls just don't work. Just goes to show, I guess now that the British people, because Boris stands for Brexit, I guess now really seems that the UK people are more behind Brexit, because by voting him in, it's a vote for Brexit. So interestingly enough, how that's going to change the landscape of the UK. But just again, loud, brash, loudmouth, winning.
Now it's almost like whoever can get the most attention.
Yeah.
Good or bad, it's almost like whoever draws the most attention is the person.
Well, people keep attacking Boris Johnson to be like Donald Trump, but yet they vote for that. You know, they voted for him. So,
do you think some of it though is like people don't necessarily pay attention to what they're
it's
saying?
The media.
They just hear the name
media.
Over and over.
No,
and
it's
over
the
again.
Media. The media twists everything. We tell both sides of the truth, and at the end of the day, you know, the problem is that should a Brexit pass?
Well, how long?
Hold on. Should a Brexit pass when it was 51-49? I mean, you have an entire country, an entire nation. And you're going to secede from the European Union because the majority, shouldn't have been like a 60% majority or 75%.
Well, that's Brexit passed partially in thanks to Cambridge Analytica.
That too. And also clever marketing. All right.
That
next issue.
Knew how to target.
Harvey Weinstein, the insurance company settled for $25 million, 30 victims, which I guess the attorneys will probably get 33% because this was probably done on contingency.
Yeah.
People are up in arms that it should have been more money. It will not cost Harvey Weinstein one thing because of insurance company.
So he had insurance specifically for
anything.
So he had a bit, because, and we say why? This because we have legal correct. Insurance. And
they've definitely changed the terms, but he's probably had insurance for a very, very long time on all aspects.
Wow.
Yeah. So the insurance company paid everything. There was talks about $100 million like 4 months ago. Now it's $25
million.
So right or wrong? So now people are outraged.
This is why I would be outraged. Not at the amount of money, right? Like, really, at the end of the day, it's more the insurance company's paying. So what he, right, he's not going to feel the effects of that. That's not, nobody's going to his bank account and withdrawing any amount of money. Now he's felt the effects of reputation, people don't want to work with him, reputation, his credibility.
Company, his company's out of business, you know.
Right, I mean? Like he's felt that. But at the end of the day, nobody's going to his bank to make a withdrawal to pay.
So I'm going to take another side of this too.
To pay the victims.
You know, whatever you say about Harvey Weinstein, he has not been found yet guilty by a court of law. So what we have...
So that was just a settlement.
That was a settlement, a civil settlement, not a criminal settlement.
Got it.
And by the way, they probably, insurance company says, we'll fight it tooth and nail, which could take 2-3 years in appeal. And there's also a risk that if Harvey Weinstein is found innocent, you know what I mean? Because some of these people are coming out of the woodwork in the 90s, and we know some people come out of the woodwork. And at the end of the day, I've heard countless of stories in Hollywood where producers
are... So you said, how much money was it?
$25 million. Where Harvey Weinstein, or people like Harvey Weinstein get laid, so they get parts, both male and women, you know, men on men, powerful executive getting men, young actors, you know, I mean, you hear that story all the time. And at the end of the day, the insurance did what's called a risk analysis. So that $25 million, it's not about whether it's guilty.
And how many victims? 30, right?
Yeah, but so
they're each, if the lawyers are going to take about 33% off the top, each victim is going to get about $275,000.
Okay.
Based on that.
All right. But then what's the degree? Like, so, I mean, people are like, oh, it's outrage. I mean, and I'm not saying that they were not victimized, right? Like, I reserved judgment on Bill Cosby until there was a trial. Because
until
too many.
There was a trial. There was a trial
and there was a result and there was a verdict. You know what I mean? And sometimes there's a verdict and you may not necessarily agree with it. But I kind of wait, because if not, then everything can be twisted. And at the end of the day, there's a lot of people that I know did what he did. Now, I'm not talking about the rape part. I'm talking about sleeping with actresses to give them movie parts and everything else like that. Or,
it's
or
just male on male. The unfortunate thing of that type of crime is it is very, it's so, especially if people in that scenario don't say something right away,
well,
you know, don't.
Okay, here's the other part too.
It's hard
too.
To prove.
Everybody's outraged, but all 30 had to approve it. Okay. Right. All 30 had to approve it because there's no...
I mean,
no,
I'm sure that there could have been some peer pressure of 25 of them being on board and kind of pushing...
Correct. But here's what they...
Because the reality is they don't want to...
You know what the lawyers probably
the
said too? Is this is going to cost a lot of money and
it
a
is.
Lot of time. And we don't... And by the way, none of these victims are paying lawyers.
But at the same time, what's going to happen with all 30 of them is in a court case like this, they're going to drag out anything and everything they can to make all of them
but,
look
but,
bad.
But here's the thing, I will tell you, I'm a little, and listen, we deal with legal stuff in business and stuff like that and companies and all that. I see this all the time. I coach a lot of people. For them to settle the lawyers before the trial means there's a bit of concern about what could happen at trial.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you wait and he's found guilty, that settlement is $100, $150 million, $200 million. So for them to say, quick money now, be done with it, we'll take the risk. There are things that...
And it was probably on both sides. Concerns on...
Well, the insurance company just looked at it as a legal standpoint. They're right. Like, we're going to spend that in legal fees, minimum. Okay?
Right.
So that's... To them, it was simply a cost-benefit analysis.
He had to also agree to settle.
Who?
Harvey Weinstein.
No, he had no say.
He had zero say.
Zero say. Because the insurance company is picking up 100% of them. He had nothing. So whatever it is, whatever it is. But that's the thing. So last topic we're going to talk about. That was a good debate. And I'm sure people twisted that I support Harvey Weinstein. Please re-listen to what I said. Innocent to proven guilty. Okay? I don't know the facts. All I heard
so
is
what is it now? Innocent until settled?
No, but now it's guilty. But here's the thing. People might say he's guilty because they settled. No, the insurance company just did a cost-benefit analysis of right. going to trial with 30 people. You
all
know
right.
what I mean?
Last topic.
Simon Cowell. So, as you know, we met Simon Cowell, you and I.
He was very
and
nice.
We went to America's Got Talent. And that was in Heidi Klum and Howie and himself. And then who was the other person with...
I was trying to think too. No, was it just three judges?
No, it was four. It was four. It was somebody else. Anyways.
Oh, Scary Spice.
Ah, yeah, Mel B.
Mel B.
Good job. So they fired Mel B and Heidi Klum and replaced it with Gabrielle Union, and who is the wife of Dwayne Wade, who's also an artist of some sort, singer. And the Huff
She's
lady.
An actress,
yeah.
Juliana Huff,
the Dancing with the Stars lady. They both got fired. And now that they got fired, Gabrielle comes up and said, they're racist. They told me that my hair was too black. And Jay Leno made an offensive joke about Koreans. And NBC, who has been hammered, right? You're talking about Mount Lauer. You're talking about, Ann Curry. You're talking about all this stuff. Had a five-hour meeting with him to try to appease her. She was saying that she was disrespected on set by Simon Cowell and that he smoked indoors. Now, believe it or not, I knew he smoked indoors on there because he would always run during the breaks and I could see him in the doors in between smoking in and out. Now, I found him to be very nice and very mellow. He is not the same Simon Cowell that he was 10 years ago as well. And how do you feel about all this situation that now you're kicking and screaming? And the problem is that now, if NBC doesn't address it, they're racist and it's just another black mark.
Well, here's the thing. Did she complain about it during the season while she had the job and was employed?
She did complain during the season because she had a five-hour, she had a meeting with Simon Cowell because she was expressing some of the work conditions there, apparently. And she did have a meeting with Simon Cowell in Malibu at his beach house place to resolve their issues. No, I don't know. She claims nothing of it had kind of happened as well. But it's Simon's show. By the way, he's the star of the show. It's his show. And do you play by the rules of it? Like, if you don't like it, leave. And it's not a right to be on the show. Or everybody should be treated equal. So there was some things that was mentioned. Yes, so it was brewing on there. Not public, of course, but now it's obviously public.
Well, I think that you always have to, whenever, you know, there's claims of anything, racism, harassment of any kind, I think you do have to take it seriously. It is Simon's show. It probably makes the network, you know, good money, so they're probably in a little bit of a shitty situation. Yeah. As far as
more,
you
know, about PR, another PR,
and it doesn't look great that you had a white girl and a black girl, you fire them, you replace them with a white girl and a black girl, you fire them. Like, Howie isn't gone anywhere, so the optics of you're firing the women, and you know, there's just like a lot of optics.
So let me ask you,
we're
about to launch our TV show next year. So let's just say, okay, you're in charge, okay, and we have an opportunity to hire for a show in whatever capacity. We can't say what the show is about, but we can hire in our show based on what you heard right now. Would you hire her? In a capacity of the show, whatever it might be, whether
I was going to say it doesn't really fit with the show
whether
at all.
Whether it was a host or it was a judgeship, or
she wouldn't have been on my list of someone.
No, but let's say we have the opportunity. They come in and they go to our agent and say, "Yeah, well, you know what? They would be great to be the host of our show." Do you hire her? Yes or no?
Personally, I think it would depend on like having a meeting with the person to see what, because I really think at the end of the day, it's how people
My answer, I would say no. I'd be absolutely not. And not because of that, because number one, what's going to happen when she's not happy with me? Simon Cowell gave her an opportunity, right? Most people didn't really know who she was.
Well, you both don't like smoking, so you'd get along probably.
Yeah, I don't like smoking, correct. But that's not the point. The point is Simon Cowell's show, and sometimes, and I've said this before, you have to know your role in the food chain. Now, that doesn't mean you are subject to abuse and things like that. But at the end of the day, if Simon Cowell, like that, unfortunately, if you don't like it, leave. And the problem is that, is this the type of thing where you're now speaking out, creating problem? And by the way, secretly, will they ban her? Yes and no. The answer is they'll make it seem like no, but the jobs won't be there. Now, Dwayne Wade has made hundreds of millions of dollars, her husband, the basketball player. But, you know, I guess, you know, listen, there's always two sides to the story and then there's the truth. But in my experience, you know what I mean? She's now, she went public with this, right? So she, and then it's not like, hey, this could have, this, all of this could have been behind the scenes. And by the way, she may have said, hey, this is not working. I tried going to you. Well, have your attorney send a letter saying, if not, we will file suit. Well, but I'm just telling you,
they did that or not, though.
But yes, they because they went public. They went public because they knew it would create outrage. And so they use the publicness and the news reporting. And that's what they did. And that's what they did. Because here's the thing, too. Why go public? File a lawsuit.
And the other, you know, thing that we're not talking about either is now it puts, you know, potentially... Juliana Huff, right, who was also fired from, isn't returning next season.
Oh, but she came up with like, you know, thank you so much for my time. Right. And by the way, she's hosting a Christmas special, so don't worry about her.
No. But here's my point, right? There's two different ways to go about it and handle it, right? She hasn't said anything. She said, you know, thank you, that was great, whatever. She continues to get other jobs and whatever. Then you've got Gabrielle Union that goes, you know, goes public with everything. But then is it going to start to put pressure on Juliana Huff to try and say, to make her say something negative?
Listen, obviously, I'm sure she has gripes. It happened before. To me, my issue here is how it was handled in the public. And of course, we don't know the whole story. That's why we want to go with both sides and give benefit both of the sides ever. But, you know, here, Simon Cowell is the type of guy that, Simon Cowell, in closing, is the type of guy that, like, he broke up with his girlfriend and gave her $3 million. You know what I mean? Like, that's the type of, and he's still friends with her. Like, Simon Cowell is that type of guy. He's also the guy that stole a woman from another guy and paid that guy too. But, this is a great show. That whatever. Simon.
Basically, Simon will give you money.
Simon, if you listen to this, and Francie will give you money. Simon and Francie are the two best people. Simon, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry, but I like you. So, all right. So that's it. The powerful BAM was a good show here today. By the way, if you would like to have more great contact, but all of my courses, every single course I've ever done, the Netflix of wealth, over 3,000 hours of content for only $20 a month, cancel anytime. Go to millionaireflix.com/thepowerful. millionaireflix.com/thepowerful. Check it out. It's like this podcast, but wealth, but 3,000 hours of pure wealth content as well. Sharpen your mind. Pack. Close this show.
All right. Don't forget to like us, follow us, leave us a comment and a 5-star review. And never forget that nothing is more powerful than the truth.